Barb Carlson, who will be chairing today. And let's see if we can call the meeting to order. I have 10:03 on Wednesday, June 22nd. If I can go ahead and do that and do the roll call, we've got a quorum out there.
Yes, absolutely. Downriver Elder Jamie Charles. Downriver Elder John Andrew. Upriver Elder Alan Simeon. Lower River Subsistence, Mike Williams Sr. Lower River Subsistence, Alyssa Rogers. Lower River Subsistence, Mary Palpola. Middle River Subsistence, Walter Morgan.
Here.
Upriver Subsistence, Barbara Carlson.
Here.
Upriver Subsistence, Fred Bobby. Upriver Subsistence, Ruby Griff. Headwaters, Daniel Isai.
Here.
First member at large, Chris Charles. First member at large, Albert Quadley.
Here.
Western Interior Rat, Kevin Whitworth. Western Interior Rat, Rebecca Wilmars. White Cage Elk Rat, Robert Hoffman. Commercial Fishing, Charlie Brown. Sport Fishing, Lamont Albertson. Cuscoquid River Intertribal Fish Commission, Avery Hoffman. Cuscoquid River Intertribal Fish Commission, James Nicarai. Navy F&G, Nick Smith.
Present.
Navy F&G, Ross Rennick.
Here.
So,
Michael, just call that you.
Mike Williams, okay, I will mark you.
Mike.
We have 5 full voting members, 7 or 6 with the department. So we do not have quorum yet.
We don't have quorum at this time.
Right.
Let me go ahead and do basic, people introducing themselves, and I'll try doing another call for working with members that are going to call in the meantime. If you're working with ADF&G, could you introduce yourself?
This is Ian Virchill, that is the center site.
John Shifley, which works with
This is Iris Fletcher out of the sonar site.
This is Katie Hayden with Systems Division.
Barbara Dickerson, Anchorage.
John Linderman, Department of Fish and Game in Anchorage.
Anybody else with Fish and Game?
Yeah, Chuck Brazil, Division of Commercial Fisheries, Anchorage.
Okay, well, let's move on to folks with pets, both as wildlife refuge and also with the larger federal group. Who's up there next day?
This is Boyd Blessing, Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. Good morning, this is Kevin Foley, Office of Systems Management, Anchorage.
Good morning, this is Brooke McDavid. I'm also with the Office of Systems Management. I'm the YK Delta RAC Coordinator.
This is Catherine Bradley, the Fish and Wildlife Service, Fisheries and Ecological Services.
This is Kikella Chapa with Owen Song.
Thank you. Okay, anyone out there from ABCP, ONC?
Dylan Cooper, UC.
Good morning, Barb. Jennifer Cooper, ABCP.
Good morning, Barb. This is Dan Gellicone, Native Religion of Pioneers.
Good morning, this is Teresa Sinoji with the Intertribal Fish Commission.
And are there just individuals out there or media folks that would like to introduce themselves right now?
Meredith Morio, Office of Senator Hoffman, located right now in Juneau.
Anyone else would like to introduce themselves? Okay, I'd like to give another call to working group members that may have called in since we did the roll call vote. We've already got Albert Quagley, Walter Morgan, Bob Carlson, Dan Esai, and Mike Williams. Has anyone else gotten online since we did the roll call? Okay, so at this point, we'll just continue this meeting, but we will not be able to make any motions on management or anything, but we can at least go through and get the information that we have to pass on to each other and that ABFG has provided in the package. Mike, could I ask you to do the invocation today?
Yes. I'll do it in my language. Thank you. Ryan Rattan Sudan with Primary Fog on Kanjali, Uum Kong, now Chief Deputy. Study, Chiyamudu Kupani, Asunyum, and otherwise now, to study Kukutwani, Kutukumi, Chalinari, study, Yilakutwani, and Sunyuki, Binin, Chikuman, and Oyao Kitmani, Chakma,
related to have SetNet opportunities, bank-oriented SetNet, that where people could more or less target SACA, but it's just a matter of kind of working out when and exactly how that looks. But at least I feel like it would be a real shame to not give people an opportunity for Sockeye when there's bound to be a pretty good run for them. You know, we understand the concerns with Chum, so we're looking at ways to avoid Chum with the way that nets are placed or the distance or the length of net that could be used. And hitting the peak of Sockeye runs so that we know that there's a strong and high ratio of sockeye compared to the other species of fish. So I think that's just the things we're going to be discussing moving forward, but obviously that's still early in the discussion. But we would hope that sometime in either late June here or early July, we might be able to have something announced for those opportunities. I would be surprised, though, if there's much more opportunity for king-specific harvest just based on the data, but we haven't really discussed that in the Tribal Fish Commission. But, you know, I think a lot will come from what we see from this harvest today. We're doing the net count this morning, and as the water holds up, we'll do it as well and see what kind of pressure is out there for the harvest today. And I don't know if the Tribal Fish Commission has anything to mention as well. If Therese is on or somebody else would speak up to anything, that'd be great.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mike.
Yes, I'm fishing right now. I need to get to my fishing. Can I be excused?
You may be excused. If you're able to check back in before noon, let us know if you're able to get back on the line. Good luck with your fishing
assignment. Yeah, I have to reel in now, and I'll call back in.
Sounds good. Thanks for letting us know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and while we're at a break with members talking, any other members phoned in besides the original group that they were present at roll call? And for that, I'm assuming Lamont has not returned?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, we'll continue on. Boy, thank you for that great report. It's maybe because I wasn't here last week, but I found it very, very informative to know what was being talked about. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On to Nick with ADF&G for ask management considerations that are management actions that are perhaps under consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Nick. Before we jump into that, I did have a question. I didn't know if Boyd wanted to make any comment on the 24-inch or smaller king salmon within the Aniac box by rod and reel.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I kind of forgot to mention that. We're hoping that by the end of the week we can talk to the Tribal Fish Commission. We talked to them. We had our consultation on that, and there did seem to be any indication of, like, the conservation concern for that, allowing that. So I'm hoping to get together with you, Nick, and make sure our language is, similar and stuff, but that we should be able to do that. And so if possible, we might be able to talk to the conservation system even before Friday when we meet to just get kind of a roll call vote from them on whether they have any concerns. But at the time we talked about it, which was about a week and a half ago, I think, they didn't have any concerns, and there was support, especially from Upriver for it. So I think, unless something's changed, I would imagine it's pretty much a go.
Thanks, Boyd. Madam Chair, I can jump into my management recommendation, if that's what you'd like now.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. This is Nick Smith with the Department of Fish and Game. And so on page 3 of the working group packet, I included my management action under consideration. So right now, my thought is to have another single 12-hour fishing period sometime between June 28th and July 2nd in the lower Kuskokwim River. This would follow kind of similar pattern that was done last year and even this year, you know, having these short fishing periods, preferably like once a week following the state management plan. We'd be using the same mesh and length descriptions that we've used all season. Jumping into the assessment on that, the write-up that's included here is very similar to last week, and to hit the highlights of it is the understanding of the King Salmon Run hasn't changed since last week. We're still projecting right about the forecast range of 130. All assessment in season is indicating that we're tracking the 2021 run, which was 130,000 fish. So from my perspective, we still have the ability to offer some more Chinook salmon harvests before we dive really deep into cranking it down for chum conservation like we did last year. This is kind of next week is really the transition point of going from being able to provide these drift periods to really drifting down for chum conservation. The chum salmon run continues to be exceptionally poor. The cumulative at Bethel Test Fish and the sonar are very similar to last year, which was the worst run on record. The interesting point is the long-term average chum salmon passage date at the Bethel Test Fishery is July 5th. However, since 2018, the midpoint has ranged from July 9th to July 16th. Chum harvest to date from Akiak downriver is 220 fish, and this is compared to 440 fish harvested over the same time in 2021. If the 2022 chum salmon run follows the general run timing pattern since 2018, we would expect 20% of the chum salmon run to be past Bethel on July 2nd. If we go fishing next week for a single 12-hour period, I'd expect harvest of chum to be 1,000 fish or less. So, yeah, we're kind of getting to the point where, like Dan brought up, that we need to really start thinking about chum conservation. And I guess to do that, moving into next week, my recommendation to the group would be trying to talk with the group and with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about ways that, like Boyd said, that we can provide harvest opportunities on sockeye while minimizing chum harvest. And ways of doing that would be, instituting live release from the selected gear type that we have the ability to do that in, most notably beach seines and fish wheels, and then also providing set net fishing opportunities down in the lower river. And I know that won't be the favorable outcome by people that like to drift, but seems like a very good way to provide sockeye harvest and minimize chum harvest. The one thing I did not include in the packet here, but it was in last week's packet, and Boyd just brought it up, and Dan brought it up, was the allowing the retention of one king salmon per day within the Aniak box by rod and reel that is 24 inches or less. I'm still in support of that management action, and I would hope the group would be in support of that, and I'd be looking to do that later in the week along with Boyd. So that was a lot, Madam Chair, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have follow-up questions for clarification? Yes.
Yeah, hey, Nick, this is Boyd. I didn't mention Weir, progress, but Frank was saying that the Weir, Tweetbook Weir is going to be fish tied fatal tomorrow, and there's a crew there now, and he's going to be bringing in the crew lead early next week and getting that person oriented. But what about the Weirs for y'all? Are they up and running yet?
Through the chair, this is Nick. I know that the George River Weir is fish tight, the Salmon Pick-A-Fork Weir is fish tight, And the Kagugawak, if it's not fish tight, it's very close. I know Bobette was on the line earlier. I don't know. Bobette, do you have an update on the Kagugawak weir?
They are working on it.
Okay.
A couple more days.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, we will look forward to possibly a report from the Cleveland Weir then next week. That's good news that there's a quote. I'm ready to go. Any other questions with Nick? He had a fairly involved recommendation and also some possibilities for the future. Nick, I guess I have a question. When you're looking at potentially doing death nets for some conservation while allowing red retention, sockeye retention. Is it because the sockeye tend to run closer to shore and therefore you catch a higher percentage of sockeye to chum in a death net as compared to a drift net? Or is it just probably fewer people fishing with death nets than with saber out drifting to sockeye?
Thanks for that question, Barb. It was your former. It's because when the sockeye really start running, they run really close to the bank, and kind of push the chums and the kings off into the deeper sections of the water. So yeah, I'd be looking at doing like we do there in the front end close time, that 100 foot within 100 feet of the high water mark. And yeah, really just targeting those sockeye.
Okay, that's something I didn't know. Thank you for the clarification. Would that be for all the way upriver, or are you looking at just doing that up to Aniak? What areas would that be recommended for?
Right now, I'd be recommending it for Cascade Bluff down to the mouth of the Crestwood River. That would be as the chum run progresses. We'd be talking about instituting those upriver. But we'd have to have a longer discussion on that, about the amount of chum that do get harvested, you know, the benefit or the negatives of still allowing drifting in the middle river. I guess, for example, what I've been looking at is the total chum harvest last year river-wide was 9,600 chum, and 9,035 of those chum were harvested from Tulip Sack down to the mouth, and 565 of those were harvested from Cascade to the headwaters. So I think your biggest bang for buck for chum conservation occurs down here in the lower river.
Those numbers are enlightening. Thank you. Okay, we are now at people to be heard, non-working group members that are out there that would like to speak to any of the things that they've heard already or just something that is in their minds and hearts right now. If you're just a regular person and would like to speak later, please feel free to ask. It's a very informal meeting this time about a forum. We'd sure like to get everybody's opinion today. We will start with the distance report. And I think the person in the lowest river today is Albert Quadley. Can you tell us about what you've seen and heard out there on the river fishing?
Excuse me. I haven't heard. I've been going to other meetings. But what I heard was they were catching a few. And I guess they'd like to find out how the... I forget what question that one person asked me yesterday. But but they're catching a few, and I'm glad it's not raining like last year. And last year spoiled a lot of fish. A lot of fish were soured. And this year surprised me was I guess they're just catching a few more kings than last year before. That's good for the subsistence users, subsistence people, like myself and my sister and other people on the Cusco crew. Yeah. And, if I hear any more, I'll certainly tell you in the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Albert. Yes, I agree. I'm glad that the drying weather is much better this year than last year. In October here, we even had a start to smoke. Okay, on upriver, Walter, what have you heard in your area?
Yeah, I went out yesterday and fished, made three drifts. I got one small jack, one tiny, really small red, and, you know, a dog salmon. I was going to let him go, but he was already gone, and I got him. It's really slow up here, because I'm working to go out there. A lot of people drift, there was a person that drifted five times and caught one king. So, you know, the price of gas, we can't afford to do that. I'm waiting until the numbers pick up. It's really slow, like I say, calculate. We're always in the middle, so it's always slow for us. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Walter. That does not sound encouraging. Yeah, I hope your numbers have picked up better down there, but they don't seem to have. Hopefully next time you go out, they're better. Thanks. I'm fishing here between Fleet Mute and Red Devil with a fish wheel right now. And in the last 3 days, we've had decent numbers. I cut what I needed for 2 day smokes in 2 days, and at the smokehouse going, and now other people are using the wheel. So our numbers have been relatively good in a 24-hour period. We're picking up anywhere from 10 to 20 kings. But the size, the poundage is not there. 2 days ago, out of 16 kings, 5 of them were no bigger than railing. And I, of the 16, only 2 were what I would consider not jack. So, nice kings, nice flesh, nice and firm, but the size is like somebody has turned them all into midgets. Just that is kind of terrifying. Yesterday, I understand from the ladies who picked the wheel, they had 11 fish on the morning pick, and all of them were decent size. All of them were, you know, 18 inches and larger. Some of them were really nice size. So maybe the size is increasing. Our numbers seem to be relatively good. I only know of one other person here with a set net out, and they had not been doing well with their set net. You know, just one fish here and one fish there. I know that Rebecca down in Red Devil, I think had been fishing set net. I'm not sure if she's been drifting as well. And they caught enough kings to get some in the smokehouse and smoke some. So they've been catching some pretty good numbers. I've only seen one red, and like Walter, who's teeny tiny, I have not seen a chum in the fish wheel at all. Or talk to anybody who's seen one in the set net. So no chums at all. And a nice collection of whitefish have been coming through. G-fish, the broad, the humpback, to just those. So we're picking up a good number of those as well. So right now, it's kind of a mixed bag, but we're catching, but people are starting to get things and thinking about freezing or getting their smokehouse as well. So I could move on up to Dan and get a report from him.
The only one that has a report will be Shelly, but she's not in meeting today. All I heard was one salmon was caught at McGrath last week. by Upper Mandus, and after that, I never heard anything.
Nothing else, yeah. Okay, well, we're hoping that heading your direction up there, and that there'll be, maybe Kevin will be on next week, too. Do you know if McGrath has a fish wheel in this year?
I doubt it. I talked to some locals here that are fishing by Kweekluck and stuff, and they said the size of the they call home on my behalf. I'm working here at Donovan right now, and so they called home, and then I asked them questions, and then they said the size is increasing right now as we speak.
Well, that's
from Kweekluck. Yes.
From Kweekluck. So maybe the bigger ones are coming on up. Well, I sure appreciate you taking time off up there at Donovan to call in for the upriver folks.
Yes, anyways, so the whitefish is coming back compared to last year, you're saying? Compared to last year, same time? Over there at Seaweed?
Definitely the broads. I'm getting more broads, the big whitefish this year than last year.
Oh, that's good news.
I would say about the same amount of monkeys, but yeah, there's a few more broads out there, and they're in good condition.
So, no, last year, nobody got any whitefish or chums. There was too few, so we put the nets
on. Pulled the nets off. Yeah.
Yes, sir, all time we caught
some. We are seeing some whitefish, and people are excited for the very year to make the whitefish for Luna.
Yes, that'll be excellent.
Are they going to do this directed toward
Nick Smith? Are they going to do aerial surveys on the Salmon River Ditka boat?
Through the chair, Dan, this is Nick. Yes, we're planning on flying the same aerial surveys we fly annually, so the Pickup Fork, Bear Creek, the Salmon of the Pitka. So we'll be flying all those headwater streams again this year, assuming the weather allows us.
Yes, Sullivan has salmon in there too, you know. And I haven't heard of what happened to the Tonzona River. There was salmon there several years ago, and we use rod and reel upriver from Nikolai, and we don't do that as much as we do because conservation. We try to conserve the salmon.
Mm-hmm. Is Tonzona Nick one that they fly for aerial?
Through the chair, we've flown it in the past. It's not part of the standard flights that we've been flying in recent years. The last time we did work on the Tonzona was, I think, 2017 when we were increasing our genetic baseline. I know that we went over there and got some genetic samples from Kings, but it's not a standardized flight that we normally do year to year.
Well, Dan, we'd sure be interested if you hear of anybody going up there to fish rod and reel here as the summer progresses, what they might be finding up that way.
In the mid-70s, there was a huge salmon that was caught by my late father. He 5'10" and he was holding with a rod and reel back in the early days. I'm sorry to hear about that size of that salmon that was just like the size of a grayling, you said?
Yeah, I ended up with 16 between 2 days, little guys that I just split and scored that are drying like I would normally dry Cisco. It's just tiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen more than one of those in an entire season of fishing in 2 days. I had, you know, over a dozen. So, yeah, the size was tall.
In 2016, I took a fishing game people up to Tonzona, and we seen a little jack that was the size of a large Dolly Varden trout.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah, there's something going on that's causing them to return so so small and early in their life cycle. And there's not much we can do about that. They definitely are getting little out there.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking, I'm seeing big, small fish that people down below aren't catching, because these are not canes that would catch in a 6-inch net. But it's because I'm using a wheel that I'm getting a sampling of them.
Yeah. What's the mesh size on the wheel? We use only 3-inch up the rear, Nikolai.
And I've got, what is mine? I've got a 2x1 mesh on the basket.
Oh. Yeah.
So I've got a real, I catch pretty much anything other than smolts that get in there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go sign off right now and get back to our news. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Realize I missed OMC in season's report after the lowest river. Can I back up and hit OMC
to that
report? Yes, you do, Dan. Thank you for staying on and giving a report. We appreciate it.
Hi, this is Dylan with OMC. For the June 16, 2020 opener, ONC Fisheries crew visited 25 vessel area fish tanks, all of which were actively fishing and surveyed. ONC also gathered information from 139 unique fishing trips at the vessel boat harbor. Here are the comments from the boat harbor. Three fishers stated that there were many people out fishing. One person was concerned about the chum rates and would like to see the federal management take more action on chum conservation. One had noticed that the kings are much smaller this year. Two fishers said that this year's fishing was better than last year. And another noticed that people are catching many fish at the mouth. One noticed that other fishermen were being disrespectful out on the water. Snags, skunking, and water issues was a problem for a handful of people during this opener, as well as previous openers. Many have stated that they need and want more fish to harvest, and some are thankful for the fish that they have caught. One fisher said that there should be more fishing periods, and one fisher wanted large mesh regulations such as 8-inch. One has noticed that there are not many other fish types besides king salmon. Lastly, one fisher commented that their sheep fish was full of parasites. And here are the comments from fish camps. Six fishermen say that they want more openers due to the great amount of other people fishing during the short amount of time. One wants the river to stay open 24/7 with no regulations or rules to follow. Lastly, one has seen two boats using full shackles and not the regulated lengths that they are supposed to be using. And 39 surveys was conducted at the boat harbor with the average mixed salmon harvest of 8.3, average chum salmon harvest less than 1, average sockeye salmon harvest 1.7, average other harvest less than 1. The net length range was 30 to 300 feet. Mesh size 4 to 6 inches. And for the fish camps, 25 surveys was conducted. Average chinook salmon harvest 16.8. Average chum harvest less than 1. Average sockeye salmon harvest 5.3. Average other harvest less than 1. Net length range was 45 to 300 feet and mesh size 4 to 6 inches. And for the fish distribution, from June 13th to June 21st, ONC delivered 74 chinook salmon, 1 chum salmon, 21 red salmon, and 2 non-salmon species to Bethel area elders. These fish were caught by ADFNG Bethel Test Fishery. And that's all I have.
for the complete report. Paints a nice picture of what was happening out there at that last opening. Any questions for Don? Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to ADF&G then for the overview of the Salmon Run assessment, the castration, sonar, any reports from the station project before we go to Diane Gill again with the Native Village of the Pineland report. So, yeah, if you want to have whoever's handling the castration, please.
Madam Chair, this is Nick. I'm pulling double duty today. Sean is traveling back from installing the Salmon Pitchfork Weir, so you get to listen to me all day today. So, in your package, or in your packet, in your packet on page 8, we can start with the Bethel Test Fishery Chinook summary. I'll give everybody a second to get there. So on June 20th, the TPWE at Bethel Test Fishery for King Salmon was 31, which brought the cumulative to 152 total for the catch unit effort there. If we're looking at average run timing on the 20th, we're approximately 41% through the run. And that's reflected, all the data is in that bottom right figure where we've got the cumulative C2E for Chinook salmon at the Bethel Test Fishery over time and overlaid with the same historical cumulative CPUE from 2013, 2019, 2014, and 2021, which represent small, large, early, and late runs. to give an update on what happened yesterday, the trajectory of going up continued yesterday. Bethel Test Fish had a daily CPUE of 46, which brought the cumulative up to 198. So in the daily assessment packet from today and moving forward, this will be rectified in there. But that continues to build, puts us right in line with what we've been observing the last handful of years for what we expect the run size to be. Moving on to page 9, chum salmon. Sadly, there's nothing to report on chum salmon since last week. The cumulative CQE is still 9. They've caught 3 total chum the whole season to get to that cumulative of 9, and it was also a 0 for 620. Moving on to page 10, we've got the sockeye salmon information from Bethel Test Fishery. The daily on the 20th was a 12, which brought our cumulative up to a 53. We're still very early in the sockeye run. If we're looking at average run timing, we'd be about 11% through the run at Bethel. Yesterday, they had another CQE of 10. So that brings it up to a cumulative of 63 to be current with yesterday. Still trucking along. Looking at the figure on the right-hand side there, the run timing profiles from previous years, we're still in the early stages for all of them unless you're looking at a very early run. Sockeye really kind of tend to come in hard and fast when they do come in, so it's definitely starting to pick up based on the sonar. And we can jump into the sonar. We'll skip a couple pages and go to page 13 of the packet and look at sonar passage over the last couple days. So the information in the packet is current as of June 18th. So as of June 18th, looking at the top figure there, there was a total passage of 25,900 Chinook salmon past the sonar. To put that in comparison, in 2021, we had 22,000 Chinook salmon past the sonar. Chum salmon is still 0. The apportionment fishery at the sonar has yet to catch a chum salmon. Passage in 2021 at the sonar was 300 chum salmon at this time, so really the same. I mean, one chum salmon will make up that difference. And then for sockeye salmon, as of 6/18, there was a total of 10,200 past the sonar, compared to 22,000 in 2021. Yesterday, passage at the sonar really started to pick up. The preliminary results from yesterday was a total passage of 4,500 Chinook salmon, which raises the total passage to approximately 34,700 Chinook salmon. No chum salmon were captured, and then sockeye is really the one that has started to show up, I guess, in force at the sonar. They passed 17,400 sockeye yesterday, which brings the big total up to 41,000 sockeye. So it'll be interesting to see here later, I guess not today, tomorrow or Friday, when the harvest estimates come back and see what subsistence fishers did for sockeye and king harvest. Madam Chair, I think that's all I have for the assessment update. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions about the subsequent data presented? Okay, thank you. Nick, I'm curious, based on what they pulled in the net, the apportionment net, were the sockeye they were picking up the larger ones or the smaller telequana ones?
Keegan, if you're still online, could you help us understand what size of the sockeye you're getting out of sonar?
Yeah, so we're getting mixed at this point. We're definitely, the crew noted that there was a larger sockeye showing up yesterday as well, so we're still getting a lot of those small ones, but we're definitely seeing some of the larger sockeye caught on number 6.5 yesterday that were sizable.
Good news, thank you, Peter. Okay, I'm going to turn then to Dan Gilligan for a report on what the various projects that the Native Village of Nepionius takes care of.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everybody. Dan Gilligan with the Native Village of Nepionius. So Nick gave you the anti-excess fish numbers. I'll just note that they're that's the lowest cumulative CPUE that we've had since we've been running the project since 2015. We're paying close attention to our net and our fishing technique. Doesn't seem to be an issue there. I think we're just seeing fewer fish in the middle river here. Some of the folks fishing up above in state waters, they are having some success, but it is slow, much like Walter reported down in Calscape. So, related to the Salmon River Weir, our target operational date is July 1. They'll be going up next week to begin install on the weir. The water's still a little bit high for that right now. We have made a couple of trips up to the camp and cleared out the access channel to the camp. Got it partially set up. They'll be going back up today to check on the camp. We do have a fire burning about 6 miles northwest of the Salmon River Weir camp at this time. So we're closely monitoring that. It seems to have died down some, but with warmer, drier weather coming, we'll have to be very, very vigilant about keeping an eye on that fire. So that's all I have. If anybody's got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Dan? Okay. Nick, was there any updates you've had on any of your weirs at this point?
Madam Chair, we don't have any counts yet from the weirs. They're just getting them in, so probably that first or second week of July we'll have something.
That is worth asking. Okay. Subsistence division. I know I can't read my own writing here. Who was on from the subsistence division? Are there any subsistence division projects going on this summer in this area that we need an update on?
Hi, this is Katie Eaton. I'm with the Assistance Division. I'm in the Fairbanks office. We don't have any in-season projects that are happening at this point in the summer. We will be doing an ethnography project in some of the lower river communities in early August. But we've been in touch with the communities, and that's where we're at right now.
Okay, well, that makes that easy. Thank you for clearing that up for me. So that I'm not wondering what I'm supposed to be talking about there. Appreciate it. Is Lamont back in the room yet?
He
he, Madam Chair, he has not yet returned.
Okay. If he does, can you ask him if he wants to give a Interparliamentary Commission report as the working group rep, and we'll fit him in whenever he returns?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Okay, so we have no commercial text report, we have no processor report. I know Lamont is our sports case rep. Does anybody else out there have anything to say? Including John Triopoulos as a sports fish person, about what's happening with sports fish or what they're seeing overall in their area. Okay, I'll take that as a big no. I know there's sports guys out there operating. These guys I've been talking to all seem immensely aware that they are not supposed to be catching things for chum, and if they do, that they need to not take them out of water and release in water. So, basically I'm talking about Stony River, Helena, the guys that operate in that area, seem to be real conscientious up to this point of what they're doing. Can't speak for any of those lower rivers. I see we have an interceptor fisheries report down here, in terms of down by the false path area. That was, I forget who, somebody asked to have that included, and showing which species are being caught in various areas down on the Alaska Peninsula. I don't know if Nick can address questions about that, but does anybody have any questions that we could maybe ferret out the answers to in the weeks to come? It's on page 18, the last page. Okay, yeah. If you do, let us know, because I know when I look at it, I'm not sure. A lot of times I have to look up the areas and see where they are first, making sense, right? So that we are getting something out of that piece of information. The weather forecast is for hot and dry coming up in the next 7 days, so it should be good drying weather. And now we are at the discussion of AD&D management considerations and possible alternatives, and that is all that we'll get to be today is a discussion, because we do not have a forum here to vote on anything. But it would sure be good to know what people out there think. In terms of, we've got a couple of different things we're looking at here. I guess probably the one thing that Nick had recommended that I picked up on was that probably no more team-specific harbor opportunities coming up after, was it the 28th? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm looking for a single period between June 28th and July 2nd. I don't have a specific day in mind.
That's right. But one period between there. And Boyd, if I can ask, when is the next scheduled opening that you have down there in below the Cal State Bluff?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Boyd. We don't have anything scheduled. We meet on Friday, after we get the harvest, back and then look at the most up-to-date vessel test fish and vessel sonar information. It's all dependent on that. And then we're looking more towards, sockeye targeted opportunities. We think some Chinook will get harvested, despite efforts to avoid that. It does still get harvested, and a few come probably too, but that's what we're looking at next for the federal fish.
Thank you. So you had an opening there yesterday.
That's today.
Oh, no. Today, on the 22nd. Okay. And you're meeting on Friday, so there won't be another opening until sometime after that. And Nick has recommended no more than one more specific opening into the 2nd of July, and then going to perhaps a different type of pitching. And what I heard tossed around was using what they used last year, at least for the area below Calcade, which was a set net only, no more drifting, so that it would target sockeye more than it would either chum or chinook. I'd sure be interested in anything that anybody has to say, particularly Albert, Walter, Mike is back on, about some of those things.
Madam Chair, this is Albert.
Yes, Albert. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that, Alice Island, Fox Pass and Ariam, are they still fishing there and there for chums? Or what are they doing down there now?
Nick, can you tell me what their target species is in that area and if they are currently commercial fishing?
Madam Chair, this is Nick. They are currently commercial fishing for the Dune, Schumann Islands, and South Umanak. The numbers that are presented on page 18 are current through June 19th. What they're targeting, I don't have an answer to that. What it looks like they're targeting by their data is sockeye, but they are definitely catching some chinook, coho, pink, and chum.
Okay, yeah, definitely way more sockeye than anything else. But Albert, to your question, they are fishing right now in the Falls Town District area. And that would be the last two South Peninsula areas, the June Shumagin and June South Umanak Island area.
That is correct.
And they are picking up some kings and some chums, Albert, but by and large, the bulk of the fish that I'm assuming they're targeting are sockeye right now. And I know this report will be in next week, and we can see if those numbers change. If it becomes more of the chum and fewer of the sockeye or something like that. But they do have the regular fishing going on.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I'm glad about this year we got tidal water so we can have more fish going up through the spawning grounds when there's high water in them abreshwares going up to lay their eggs. I'm glad we got tidal water so they can go up them quick and lay their eggs, and maybe we'll get more fish in the future for next generations. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That is good news. Thank you, Albert. Any other comments about potential management that might be happening? And this was, at this point, I'm talking mostly about the chum and the chinook. We'll come back again and discuss the box issue later. But ideas or comments on chum management that we may be starting to take place as we ease into July here. What do you folks think about the set net opportunity? Going from draft to going from drift net to set net. Okay. Dan Gilligan, if you could, I'd sure like to hear a little bit more about what, and surprise in the dark about last week's discussion. I should have listened to the tape, and I didn't. Talk a little bit more about what was being considered concerning the Aniak box. We heard some from Boyd on that one, and that was enlightening. Can you kind of give us your take on what might work for that box in the future?
Yeah, I think Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Dan Gilligan with the Pioneer here. So I've been approached for years now, actually, from local fishermen here in Antioch about being able to retain these small Chinook salmon that are jacks, basically. And it seems like they've always run reels off the dike down here, and that's been kind of a way for people without the resources, a net or a boat or anything like that, to at least partially fill some of their needs. But once we instituted that sanctuary area and closed it to all Chinook salmon for conservation, so that we weren't targeting Chinook salmon bound for the Antioch River, it kind of disallowed that opportunity for a lot of folks. And so given the numbers, and Nick gave some numbers last week, I think he said that in the escapements we're seeing 25% of the escapement is made up of these 2-year-old jack Chinook, and of those 2-year-olds, that 99% of them basically are males. So there's very little impact on the females. Now these males do contribute to spawning. They're called precocious males because they're little sneak spawners. They get in there and they do actually spawn. But I think that the numbers that we're talking about are going to be minimal. I wouldn't expect there to be more than maybe at most 200 of these little guys harvested on the beach. There is a concern about, obviously, people catching fish over 24 inches and their release techniques. And I'll just let everybody know that we'll put up some signage on the beach, and we'll talk to folks about proper release techniques for these larger kings to make sure they understand what 24 inches actually is, because sometimes that can be confusing when you've got a nice big Chinook in your hand, right? But I think folks here would really appreciate it, and I think by and large they would abide by the rule. Just on a side note, I don't know that we'll catch enough to make any difference, but part of this, what we're seeing, this early maturation, these returning small Chinook salmon, is a result of genetics. It's not all genetics, but it at least in part is. So in my mind, if we do remove some of those out of that spawning population, that we could potentially start reversing maybe some of the trends of these smaller fish. And that might be a larger management action to consider in the future, when we've got, more Chinook coming in, to maybe institute on some of the tributaries if we think it might be effective. any other questions related to that?
Anybody have any questions to Dan or Boyd or Nick concerning the Antioch box, the potential for allowing rod and reel take of 124-inch king salmon per day per person?
Hey, Madam Chair, this is Boyd.
Yes, Boyd.
I just had a question for my curiosity. Dan, I know it's hard to say what typically happens, but if there is a typical, when do typically the salmon kind of get there in large enough number where it's productive for people to, go out and reel for things like that?
Yeah, typically we see peak passage of Chinook around the 4th of July up here. It's been coming a little bit later over the last few years, but traditionally it's been around the 4th of July is when people start fishing, in earnest for them, and that tends to be around the peak passage. The catch fishery data says that, any time from now to, the next couple of weeks could be peak passage. This year was not seeing that, but the numbers have been jumping quite a bit, probably as a result of some of the openers in the lower river. So from now until mid-July is people will be down there rod and reeling for other species.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I guess I'd like to throw in my sense work here in support of this when it does come up before the Intertribal Fish Commission and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and when it considers it as well, I really concern me that whether that the genetics to come up early and contribute milk into the spawning for these little tiny jacks is basically contributing to us breeding this Chinook salmon. And hearing that that has been a concern, and that that certainly is one of the things that might contribute to smaller salmon, that it would behoove us to not encourage those little guys up there to go upstream and make more of themselves, while the bigger ones are encouraged to go up and breed. So, yeah, this isn't going to make, it's just a drop in the bucket, but it's another way of perhaps keeping some of those small Chinooks out of the breeding population. And I'm all for that. Any other comments? Okay. Well, since we can't make motions, that is not something we'll do. Is there anything else that we need to discuss before we go into general comments by listening group members?
Bob, this is Nick. I got a question for you.
Yes.
I was trying to remember when you start catching sockeye in your fish wheel, generally.
Generally, I would say that right about now we should be picking up a few. We've only had the wheel running for 5 days, and so far I've only picked up what my husband calls a one-man lunch sockeye. It was, you can hold it in the palm of one hand. So we haven't seen, and I don't know of anybody else that has caught, but I think Becca caught one in a set net. So I would be expecting to start seeing single numbers, single digits in the wheel here. Yeah, any day now. Because I would say generally in the past, the 4th of July is normally the peak up here. And of course, I'm fishing, where I fish the wheel, I'm tending to get more of the Halitna ones than I am the other water ones, usually. So overall I would say we're a little bit behind normal this year for red. I would have expected to see more in the wheel than what I've seen.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Comments from any of the few working group members that are still on with us to close off the meeting? Okay. Otherwise, we will have our next meeting next Wednesday on the 29th of June. And maybe that won't be a fish opener, so that a few more of our members who are out fishing today can be here. But we will have a 10 o'clock meeting on Wednesday, June 29th, next week. And thank you all for hanging in there with us for this meeting. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. I have a motion. I'm going to have a motion. We don't have enough people. We are ending this meeting without a motion. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a good week.
Thank you, Barb. You too.